Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening. This is Michael Collins with Journey to Success Radio, and tonight I'm going to be speaking about my workshop, upcoming workshop next Saturday, Wordsmithing in the Cousins of Love, and the power of the words that you use. Just to give you a little bit about myself, I've written a book called Ushering in the Golden Age, Elevate Your Consciousness, and one of the chapters in the book, I talk about wordsmithing and the power of words and the way words have changed your life, can change your life. I've also studied metaphysics, astrology, yoga, tantra, tarot, natural healing, hypnosis over the last 35 years. So I use these different reference points to complete a whole package in learning how to use the mind. What I feel is the most beneficial way to change your life is to change your words. And let me just give you one more thing. You can find information about me at my website, www.michaelrobincollins.com. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L. robincollins.com. I believe that wordsmithing and the use of words will become the next big conscious thing as we proceed in this century. Our God-given power is based on our ability to use our words and to create whatever we want to create through our words. The way that it works, consciously we have a thought in our mind. Then we give that thought over to the subconscious, and the subconscious takes it up to superconscious. Just like we breathe automatically, our heart pumps automatically, it would be the same way. Once we start putting words and what we want to manifest in our life, it will start to work and start to manifest. We'll start to manifest the things that we really want to dream of. And the first step, and one of the things that I will talk about, is just clearing the old negativity out. Because when we still have negativity and that negativity is there, it's actually suppressing the good that we want to bring out and the good that we want to manifest. So there are many clearing tools. Some of the clearing tools that I like to use are, one is called Ho'oponopono. One is called the Release Technique, where we actually talk about going in and removing this old data that keeps blocking the way we think. And also, and more importantly, it is the cause of the tapes that we keep playing and playing and playing in our mind. And so the subconscious keeps hearing this. And what's happening is, through our worry, through our fear, we are creating the things in life that we want to get rid of. Because the subconscious hears that and then wants to give it to us. So when we become aware of how to change what we are looking for and waiting from the subconscious, then we really start to change our lives. In that moment, we come into our God consciousness, our oneness with God, and this is our ability to move mountains and to manifest anything and everything that we want to in our world. You know, when we look back on some of the great thinkers of our time, such as Napoleon Hill, he was very big on learning how to program yourself, learning how to program everything that you wanted to achieve in life. And then, again, what the formula was to repeat this over and over and over to the subconscious so the subconscious could take it to superconscious so it becomes an automatic part of your life. We have books like As a Man Thinketh, written by James Allen back in the 1930s, which again is another beautiful book that talks about the power of our words and the power of our thoughts, and how to weed the garden, how to take those thoughts out that are negative, because no matter what, if there's a cloud in the sky, the sun is still shining. And it's so it works with your words, that, you know, nobody may hear them but you, but they're affecting you 100%. So the more that you are able to change your words, be conscious of the words, the more you're going to be able to create what you want. And the other thing is that is very important to remember is that we are all spiritual beings. We are all spiritual beings living a life in a human body. So let's not negate the fact that we are spirit. And spirit is never born. Spirit has never died. And we have incredible God-given powers, because in spirit, we are made in the image of God, the creator, the force behind the universe. And what this means is that we have those same God-given abilities to create anything that we would like to create within our lives. So it's just a matter It's just a matter of concentrating, focusing, and learning the laws of spirit to take us along the path. Because once we realize we're a spiritual being, we can then actually change the course of our life. We can change the way we interact with people. We can change the vibration that we set up with ourselves, and this vibration is then reflected with other people and what we attract into our life. So if you put out a vibration of love, gratitude, goodwill for people, for humanity, you're going to attract that back to yourself. And just the same way, if you're always angry, jealous, hateful, you're going to attract that back to yourself. And when we start to look at these negative, what is called negative emotions, or what I like to call the things that create the negative flow, they're basically showing a lack of contact or a lack of being in touch with our spirituality. So when we start to understand the oneness of God, the oneness of the universal mind, and that everything comes from that universal mind, and each and every one of our thoughts is really impacting everyone in the world. We do not live in isolation. It's like our thoughts are our own radio station, and it goes out, and it's broadcasting to the whole world. So anybody who tunes into your specific broadcast, they will hear what you're thinking. They will know what you're thinking. And so then it becomes a responsibility to become conscious of what you're putting out. Because once you start to know that your thoughts are really affecting everyone, you realize the tremendous power and responsibility that you have in creating your thoughts. And that these thoughts are not isolated, they're not passing, you know, just in passing. And they're not something that nobody else is going to hear, because everyone feels your vibration. So it's important, as you evolve more spiritually, to realize the power of these thoughts and the power of what you're doing. Because the thoughts, the words, lead to the thoughts. And this is the basis of all change. And this is the basis of all creation and manifesting in life. So, again, when we get in contact with our divine self, we then we then have the ability to see everything that we are creating. We see everything that we want to create. And we also look at the ramifications of what we're creating. Because we are spirit and the consciousness of God is love, and love is the consciousness of God. The more that we get into a love-based, heart-centered psychology, the more we are creating in the world a place of peace, a place of harmony, a place where we can all coexist. But we've been brought up and we've been trained, so many of our thoughts deal with negativity, with our own insecurities, and all these are based upon our not being in touch with our spirituality, not being in touch with our oneness, our God nature. And so the more that we get out of touch with that God nature, the more neurotic we become, the more insecure we become, the more hateful we become, the more jealous we become, because we are not in touch with who we truly are. We are not in touch with our purpose, and we are not in touch with our talents. We're always thinking that somebody over there has more than what we have, and we forget to count our blessings and to be in gratitude for all that has been given to us. And I say this because in the workshop, what I like to do is give people the opportunity and give people permission to really find themselves. So in the workshop, the basic formula of it is I ask people to write their old story using the words that they are currently using. And then we read those stories and go over those stories and see how those stories have really affected your life. And then we start to investigate what people's dreams are and what people's purpose in life is and what their heart is calling them to do. And then we have them write their purpose, and then we have them rewrite their story. And one of the suggestions that I make in the workshop is when you rewrite your story, to rewrite your story with the cousins of love. Because when you start to rewrite your story with the cousins of love, you're actually using the synonyms of love. And these words have the highest vibration, and they're also attracting to you the highest vibration. So in essence, what you're doing is you're really changing the focus of your life, creating more peace, creating more love, just by changing the words in your life. You're also then starting to become aware of the negativity, and you know, we look to build up more security, to build up more peace, and build up more love through making this transition. And, you know, is it an overnight transition? It can be. But usually it's a process. It's a process because you've been using the words that you use in your life. And now what I'm saying is let's find your purpose and use the words that are going to power that purpose. Because when you start to use the words that are going to power your life, you become conscious of it. And then you really start to take responsibility, because then when you start to take power for your life, you can no longer play the victim, or you can no longer blame anybody for anything that's happening in your life. Hello, this is Michael Collins of Journey to Success Radio, and I'm talking about my upcoming wordsmithing workshop. And if anybody would like to call in, because it's going to be open, the mic is going to be open for the rest of the evening, and I have about another 32 minutes to go, so I'd like to open it up to callers if people want to call in, and I'll just talk about wordsmithing and manifesting. But I would love to hear from some callers. The number to call in is 718-766-4453. That number again is 718-766-4453. Why wordsmithing? Why? Because so many times you're not happy about what's going on in your life, and so you can change all that around. We have a caller, so I'm going to take the caller. Hello? 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 Well, a caller just hung up. Hopefully you'll call back in. But why wordsmithing? The call is back. Let's see if we can get through. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
With Mabel.
How are you today, Mabel?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great. It's good to hear.
Yes.
I'm calling in because I started listening to the introduction of your show, and there were two things that stood out to me, and they were love-based psychology and old data. I'm interested in learning how you can use a love-based psychology into old data. Just going personally into my personal experience, I feel that I'm at a point where, you know, I'm a new mother, and aside from being a new mother, I'm in a relationship, and I find myself going into these cycles where I think I've made significant or, you know, astronomical progress in being a supporter, in being a good mom, in being a good partner, in being a good listener, and all those things. But I do find myself, like, recycling this old data or recycling all of these, like, negative emotions. And I guess my question to you is, A, how can I use your love-based psychology to get rid or rewrite my story? Because I feel like there are times where I'm going around in circles, and I guess I just want to know if there's certain tools or daily rituals that I can implement in my life to really start rewriting my story.
Yes, there are definitely tools that you can use to rewrite your story. And when I talk about data and the negative data that keeps replaying, keeps resurfacing, it's just all things that we've been conditioned to, old belief systems that no longer serve us, you know, things that may have been passed down from our parents, from their parents, from generations that we really don't know where they come from. There may be things that have been passed down to our friends, from our friends, that are almost like a superstition. And when we start to then recycle those in our mind, we keep hearing them and keep hearing them, and we're really creating that self-fulfilling prophecy of things that we don't want in our lives. So when the two methods that I really love to use to help get rid of that old data, the first one is called Ho'oponopono, and it comes from Hawaii, and it was reintroduced in America by this lady named Myrna, and then it was taken a little bit further by Dr. Hu Lin. And basically, when that data starts to play, because it's just data, it's just old data being replayed. So the thing is to make peace with that data. In Ho'oponopono, the way that you make peace with that data is by saying, I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, thank you. And you don't have to say it in any particular order, but just keep saying to that data over and over, to that negative emotion, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, I'm sorry. And what you're going to find is that you're going to start to come into a state of inspiration. And when you start to come into a state of inspiration, then you're going to find things of love and peace to work with. So once you start to find things that are more loving, more peaceful, more positive, then you're actually going to start to eliminate that negative data. The next thing that I would also recommend is called the release technique. And by looking at by using the release technique, which is like looking at all situations, in all situations either break down to wanting approval, which means you're wanting love, wanting to be in control, and the more you want to be in the control, the more out of control you become. And the next thing is feeling safe. And feeling safe is your inherent birthright. So it gets back to some of the things that I was saying, that when you realize that you are a spiritual being, when you realize that you're a spiritual being, then all of a sudden you realize that you get your love. Your love is within you. Your love is the consciousness of God that is within you, that has been born and given to everyone. We have been taught to place that outside of ourselves, but the more that we learn how to turn within, the more that we will be able to find that, and the more we will be able to then use that power to empower our lives. And it's the same thing with wanting the control. The more that you want to be in control of somebody else, the more out of control you become, because everybody's going to live their life the way that they want to. And the only thing that we can control is our words and our thoughts. And again, that's why I get back to wordsmithing being so powerful, because the only thing that you can control in your life is your words. And your words are what build up your thoughts. So if there are things in your life that you don't like, if there are things in life that you are attracting that you don't like, if there are patterns in your life that you want to get rid of, start to change your words and stop trying to control everybody. Because when you're trying to control everybody, basically you're trying to impose your will on their will. So you're trying to, instead of respecting that other person for their God-given ability and for their God consciousness within them, you're trying to impose your God consciousness on them. And the ensuing battle and the more out of control that both of you become, as opposed to coexisting. I always like to use the exercise where if you put your hands up to another person and both people push as hard as they can, that's showing each person is trying to resist. But if you put your hands together and one person doesn't push and actually drops his hands, they let go of their resistance. And this is what you're doing. You're learning to let go of your resistance to any particular situation that may come up. So instead of pushing, fighting, trying to impose your will, just let it exist and allow and accept the person to express themselves and to be who they are. And the third thing is safety. We are safe. Our bodies, the fact that we're spiritual beings is that we never are born and never die. And so when we start to learn, learn and understand the mysteries of life, we realize that we are never born and we never die, and that we are inherently safe. We are, that God-given ability is our safety. We come from the universal mind. In the universal mind is all the wisdom, all the knowledge that we need. And it's just a matter of us realizing and walking in that fact that we are spiritual beings. Because when we walk in the fact that we are spiritual beings, then we are walking in our God consciousness. And when we do that, we realize that the mundane things that we look at in life that can hurt us, that can take us away, are really just illusions and are really just part of our neuroticism that really keeps us a prisoner and takes us away from who we really are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I find this very interesting because two things that stood out to me, well, three things within the release technique that you mentioned was wanting approval, wanting to be in control, and feeling safe. And I feel like in my particular situation, I actually struggle with all three. So my question to you is, how do I take the steps to be okay with being happy or finding that happiness internally? Just give you a little bit more of about my background. I come from a family, we're a tight-knit family, and now I'm in the process or have started my own family. And in the part where I feel like I'm wanting approval is that I think that at times my family makes me feel guilty about wanting to spend time with my new nuclear family. They make me feel like I'm doing something wrong. And I find myself struggling seeking their approval when in some senses I know that I shouldn't be seeking their approval. So it's like I feel like I've been programmed to seek this, my family that I grew up with as like my priority family, my nuclear family is like, you know, something that just came about yesterday. And it
can
cause a lot of
question?
Conflict. Yes, of course, please.
Okay. What inside of you is seeking approval outside of you? Because I think that may be the crux of what's going on. What inside of you, why do you feel that you need their approval to live your life? Because they have lived their life the way that they wanted to in accord. So what makes you feel that you have to acquiesce to them in this moment?
What makes me feel like I need their approval is I feel accountable to their happiness. Just to, you know, give you some insight, when I was in high school, my family and I, we were homeless, and we ended up in a homeless facility. Like, we had no idea where we were going to go, and I was 16 at the time, and I think that I was very traumatized by the experience, because at the same time, my aunt was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and my mother became psychotically depressed. She was like, in the hospital, and all of this was going around the same time. And what I was working at a bank, and what my family was making was what I was making. So at 17, around that time, I became financially and like emotionally responsible to my family. I felt that in my mother's absence, because she was going through her emotional and mental strife, I had to step up to the plate. And I think that that has shaped my experience or my sense of responsibility, because I feel like till this day that I'm responsible to my family's happiness. Like, I'm responsible for their accomplishments. Like, if, you know, like, my siblings really heavily depend on me, and I've come to realize that it's a little bit of me putting it on myself.
Right.
But I am like a mother figure to my sister, because her relationship is strained with my mother, the same with my brother. So it's like I've always been kind of like the family mediator when it comes to situations or circumstances. So now that I've started my family, it's become in conflict because I'm not as available to mediate those types of relationships. I'm not as available to be an advocate for certain members of my family, or I'm not as available to fix those bridges that have been burned. So
right.
I guess that's why I feel like it's not of a sense of approval, but I feel there have been moments where I feel like guilty because I choose to spend more time with my nuclear family. So I know I've come to the point to realize that I know that it's me, that I know that it's something within me that I need to, like, or perspective that I need to be open to, because I feel like this sense of heavy, like, responsibility that I might have put onto myself. So then what steps do I take?
Well, the first steps that I would suggest is, because it sounds like you're very influential in your family.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're very influential in your family, start talking to your family members about being responsible for their own happiness. Because, again, just like manifesting, you can only manifest for yourself. You can be supportive of them, but they have to realize that your happiness has to do with you, just as their happiness has to do with them. So the best thing that you can do is really start to become an example. And one of the best ways to really start to find your own happiness is to find your purpose, and then teach your family members to find their purpose also. Because when people are purpose-driven and have a reason for living and make that purpose what they're here for, it just changes the whole paradigm, because people then all of a sudden, they know what they do, what they need to do. They are focused on what they need to do. And so when they become very focused on what they need to do, they're not looking outside of themselves. So I think you have an example. You can be an example to them, number one. Number two, I believe the more that you get in touch with your spiritual parts, the more that you let your spirit and talk to the universal mind through meditation, the more that you realize how to program yourself. And, you know, two of the things that I was going to share with people in the workshop, and it's something I just got from the I Am Discourses, is that it's very important to really start to reprogram yourself before you go to sleep. Because when you reprogram yourself before you go to sleep, that reprogramming can last with you up to 4 hours, if not longer. And the one thing that I'd say is, I am going to use these moments to renew what I intend to manifest in my life. So right away, you're telling your subconscious, and when you're using the I am, you're actually calling the name of God. And so when you're calling the name of God and calling the name the I am, you're calling that God-based spiritual consciousness within yourself. So by just saying that, these words, that you want to review what I intend to manifest in my life. So you're letting the subconscious know that your whole intention of going to sleep is to review and renew what you're putting into your life. And then this is just a very nice follow-up that I like to say right before I go to sleep. I am the governing presence, governing in perfect divine order, commanding harmony, happiness, and the presence of God's opulence in my mind, my home, and my world. So when I go to sleep, I'm actually putting these thoughts in my mind to get me more in touch with my spirit, more in touch with harmony with everyone in the world, my home, my family, and myself. And I'm using it to program the happiness in myself. And I'm also using it to share in God's opulence and the fact that there is an abundance out here, and tapping into that abundance to live well and to support the things that I want to do in life and sustain myself, sustain my dream, and sustain putting my purpose out there. And so the more that you then start to learn to program yourself before you go to sleep, and then during the day, taking these programs that you have for yourself and just say, I am happiness, I am love, I am peace. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to find that you're becoming these things more and more. And this inner feeling within you is going to start to come alive again. And what you're going to do by releasing and doing the Ho'oponopono and the release technique, because when you say, I'm seeking approval, and then you say to yourself, well, can I let it go? And can I let it go even more and more and more and more? And just see it floating and evaporating. And the more that you come in harmony with your spiritual principles, the more that you will realize that you are spirit. And when you come in contact with that spirit, you're actually coming into the part where you're living the truth about yourself, which is a beautiful experience.
Right. Thank you so much. I mean, it sounds like I have a lot of work to do in the sense of, it sounds like it starts with me.
It starts with you, and it starts with you going in, learning to meditate, but also it's work. But you know what? When you start to live your purpose, the work really translates into fun, into play. And even though you may be working, you realize that you're not really working, that your energy is just taking you to different levels of play, of different levels of having fun, enjoyment, of happiness, of peace, because you're doing what motivates you and what brings you to your glory, that brings you to bringing your message out, which brings you to, you know, being an example for people. So, because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, you feel responsible for people's happiness in your family. I mean, that's a very noble idea, yet at the same time, you can only be responsible for your own happiness. And by becoming happy and becoming an example of this, your family may see this, and then they may start to shift their behavior. And they may start to realize that they need to take responsibility for them, for their own lives. And the thing is, you know, everybody goes through their own Armageddon, so to speak, you know. You were telling me the story about being homeless. There are people who are rich and have everything except love. So, I mean, we can run the whole gamut, but the whole thing is becoming secure in yourself, finding that love, and really then starting to bring that love out in your life as the most important thing that you're communicating. Because when you're communicating love, you are communicating your God nature, and it actually, in essence, means that you are walking in your God nature. And when you walk in that, then you will have the ability to change everything and everything in your world.
Right. I have a question in terms of, you mentioned safety, and another question, well, in regards to safety, like, what would you say? There's safety and then there's ego, right? I feel like, personally, like, when I'm in the need of wanting to be in control, it's because it's like my ego is like, how do you come to a point where you, like, suppress the ego? Because I feel like ego, there's a negative connotation. When I say ego or when I think of ego, I feel like there are moments where, you know, we're in a discussion or we're figuring out how to raise our daughter or simple things about food, what she should eat, what time she should eat it. And I think I'm a very, like, prideful person. I tend to think that, you know, my way is the right way. So
right.
How do you coexist with someone and find a way to, like, battle the ego or just diminish it? Because I feel like when you're in a relationship, you can't have that. Like, it's hard. Everyone likes to win. And it's hard
right.
Are there any tools that you could, or like, I know
right.
I appreciate the exercises that you provided for the other, from like how to deal with my family, but how do you deal with yourself and the ego?
Well, my simple answer to that question would be, if we look at the word ego, E-G-O, and, you know, the acronym comes up, edge God out. And so, so many times when we are in an egotistic state, we are edging God out. We are eliminating the spiritualness of our whole being. And so the fact that we are eliminating the spirituality, it really allows for the mundane, it really allows for the negative emotions to come in. So my suggestion would be to get spiritual counseling. Get spiritual counseling on the relationship where all parties can talk and come to an understanding and realizing, you know, your ego is just your need for control, and that is that insecurity within you. And the insecurity just means that there is a lack of spirituality, of lack of connectedness to your God consciousness, which can be easily overcome by just setting up a daily practice, starting to do meditation, starting to then do the things that are going to eliminate these negative feelings and negative emotions, because you have to get rid of the negative emotions before you can bring in the positive emotions. So as long as those negative emotions, you know, people can say they're spiritual and they're this and that, but then they're angry with the world, they're going out and hating people, and that has nothing to do with spirituality. So as you start to clear those negative emotions out and the need for control, what's going to happen is that you're going to start to communicate better in your relationship. And what's going to happen is you're going to start to hear the person so that you can, you know, so that that person then feels validated. Because so many times when somebody is not heard, they don't feel validated. And so they feel like they're not being heard. And so then they tend to drift away. Whereas to make the relationship strong, when you really start to go into listening to each other, because it's very interesting. When you take the word listen and you rearrange the letters, it becomes silent. So you get silent within yourself, you can really listen to what the other person has to say. And when you are wanting to be in control, again, you cannot control anybody else's life. So when you really start to listen, then you hear what they're saying, and instead of controlling somebody, you're starting to work to form a harmonic cooperation where you allow and accept that person to be who they are, and they allow and accept you to be who you are.
And one more final question that I have. I mean,
We only have 90 seconds, so ask your question quickly.
Well, really quickly, you know, using your words, how do you use your words to start all of this process that you mentioned?
Well, again, if you look at there's a chart that I have in the book called The Cousins of Love. Mm-hmm. If you start looking at that chart, The Cousins of Love, and really start talking to somebody from that chart, saying to somebody you have their goodwill at heart, that you are empathetic towards them, that there's the love, and you start to do that, you really, really start to shift the whole vibration. And let me just say this. This is Michael Collins with Journey to Success Radio. We're talking about my upcoming workshop on May 26th. On wordsmithing and the cousins of love. For more information, you can either call me at 516-379-6128 or go to my website, www.michaelrobincollins.com. That's michaelrobincollins.com. We're just about out of time. Does that answer your question now?
Yes, it did. Thank you so much, and I appreciate it, and I look forward to your workshop.
All right, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for asking these questions. And anybody out there who wants more information about the workshop, please feel free to call in or call me or go to the website. Thank you, and everybody have a blessed evening. Hello? Hello?